kind of wish we had that video just so everyone could see you lip syncing to that song.
Listen, there's one thing I know about the 80s, and that's Johnny H. Jazz. To classic, buddy. How's it going, pal?
It's going all right, man. For
is it going all right? Because it sounds like we were trying to go live on this podcast here, but Blog Talk Radio has got some.
Much like the rest of my life, I cannot escape the technical difficulties of everything that I deal with.
So. We paid good money for this subscription.
Yeah, well, it is free this month, so.
Beggars can't be choosers, pal. Know. Beggars cannot
be. We will
be
paying for it.
We will be. I feel like I'm already paying
for
it.
We're something paying for it.
Yeah. That's true. You'll have to excuse me. I'm drinking a delicious milk and honey stout from the Mustache Brewing Company, representing Long Island, New York. They're delicious beverages. Delicious. Milk and honey stout. It's
you just want to get a free crate of those things at your doorstep, don't you?
I wouldn't hate a free growler. I mean, I'm a human American male. Let's get... Where are we at, buddy? What are we talking about last time?
Well, last time we recapped SummerSlam, which was...
Well, Summer Scam, am I right? Yeah, how you doing with the false finishes?
So that was Sunday night. This is Wednesday night, so a couple days have passed. Raw had their post-SummerSlam episode on Monday.
Okay.
And
really, that Raw is supposed to build towards WrestleMania. That's like the beginning of the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe plant some seeds for some storylines or whatever it is. So
okay.
I can't tell you how many tweets I got with people asking for our reactions to Raw. I can't tell you. You know why I can't tell you?
Because we didn't get any. I got, I posted something on Facebook today. I asked people's reactions to Raw. I can't tell you how many I got, Joe.
I feel like maybe, I don't know, is it maybe there was a Facebook technical difficulty that was preventing it.
Maybe my face was a technical difficulty. No. If we could find a way to get my picture off of that.
That's me, you're talking about me.
No, no, it's not. My beard looks like I haven't combed it in days, in that picture at least.
Your beard is epic. That's the most positive feedback we get on anything is about the beard in the pictures.
And that's a problem when we have a radio show. That's the issue. I want people to talk about my angelic voice or your well-thought-out points or just pros and cons of pancakes for dinner, man. I don't know.
That would
I want
be
people
nice.
That,
if we
I
could
want...
get one piece of feedback related to that anywhere on any of the social media.
One
like
piece
be...
of feedback.
Any one person.
Could anybody.
Us, that would be...
To say anything.
It would really boost the confidence of the All Night Long wrestling podcast.
I don't have to boost posts on Facebook every day. It costs like $5. I've one boost and we've already lost money. Yeah. You know? But it's okay.
We're in the red. We're pretty deep in the red.
Yeah. So. Triple digits. We are triple digits in the red.
Yeah, so.
Click on one of the links of our sponsors. Kidding, we don't have any. Mm-hmm. Mustache Brewing Company, though.
There you go.
You could find them on Facebook.
Wasn't there some sort of beard balm that you were advertising a couple of days ago? Wasn't that a thing?
I am part of the Beard of the Month Club.
Okay.
I have a tremendous oil in my beard right now. Actually, I was at work the other day. I'm going off on a tangent, but I do have a good beard. I was at work the other day, and my coworker came up to me, and he's like, dude, he's like, it looks like your beard is shimmering. Guess what? It was.
Yeah. There was, so it's the beard, what is it, the Beard of the Month Club?
Beard of the Month Club. Beard you can find them on Facebook.
I heard they're coming out with a calendar, and you're Mr. August.
Are the
rumors true?
I'm Mr. No Days Off, Rob Van Dam, yeah. I'm actually, no, I'm not. Just the beard. Shaped. Everything else out of the picture.
Well, I feel like then you've been overlooked. So, we need to get that.
I've already overstayed my welcome in most aspects of my life, so.
In Earth? That's your I've overstayed my welcome on Earth.
Yeah. Never one for underselling ourselves. Let's get back to the pro wrestling talk.
So Raw on Monday. Seemed like most of this guy's that's real good.
Okay.
That's real good. So,
frankly, it's my fault. I haven't drank a beer like a man in a long time, so I apologize for the slurping. But anyway, back to business, back to Raw. As we touched on it, it's the big show. You know, there was a lot of hype going into Raw with the way. I think there has to be with the way that SummerSlam ended. You had just seven. I mean. Terrible. I don't want to say terrible finishes, but you had a lot of unclean finishes.
Yes.
So that when you have an unclean finish on a big pay per view, you're going to want to see what happens the next night. That's old school booking. You know, that's old school.
Nitro booking.
That's nitro booking. So that's really what happened, and they kind of. I mean, you want to take it from the top. There was a lot that happened on Raw.
Yeah, there's a lot of different kind of things that occurred. It's, you know, it started with a Lesnar and Heyman promo with kind of them challenging the finish of the main event the night before, which we talked about last time, which is the whole Undertaker tapping out, you know, referee didn't see it, and then Lesnar ended up passing out in the Hell's Gate move. So I don't know if you want to go into great detail about that segment. It was really just, you know, another Heyman promo, which was excellent, obviously, because that's what he does. Ended with Bo Dallas coming out as kind of a pseudo-joke and just taking a beating from Lesnar, a bunch of suplexes and an F5. And then Lesnar left, and that was the last that they saw of him, really, for the rest of the night. And that was just his only appearance in the show.
Right? Yeah, which now is going to lead to the big Madison Square Garden show. That's when is that?
It's in October. Yeah, it's in October. They're having a house show at MSG that Lesnar is going to be on, and they're going to air it on the network like they did that Tokyo show back on July 4th. So
we're going to see Brock Lesnar against Bo Dallas.
Looks like it, yeah.
Huh.
Fill those seats, my friend.
Not
fill those seats.
All right, yeah, I guess just like you saw Brock Lesnar versus The New Day.
Yeah, it was him and Kofi Kingston in Tokyo. It was like a 5-minute squash, whatever it was, right? Yeah. And just beat up everybody.
Yeah.
So
tight. That was
speaking of New Day, the next segment on the show was the New Day versus Lucha Dragons. So the New Day had just won the tag titles the night before, and they beat the Lucha Dragons clean, I believe, or relatively clean, for whatever you want to call it. And then
New Day chicanery, but yeah.
Why don't you tell us what happened after the match?
Can we give it credit to Xavier Woods for playing taps on the outside?
On the trombone.
That was awesome.
Great
I was
job,
cracking up. Great job by him. And then pyrotechnics went off, and we got welcome to Dudleyville. Population 2. Bubba Ray, Devon Dudley walked out. They can call it, they're the Dudleys again, right?
Now they can be the Dudleys again because they're in WWE.
They're not Brother Ray and Brother whatever.
Not Team 3D. No,
that's what it was. Team 3D. Yeah, the Dudley boys are back. They Bubba, well, he looked interesting, you know.
He bulked up, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, Bubba bulked up. You didn't see Devon, but Devon's been shredded every time, you know, I've seen him lately. But they came out, they disposed of New Day pretty easily. They hit the was up, the headbutt to the nads, which, you know, I mean, it was a Budweiser commercial from like 14 years ago, but people got it.
Still relevant.
People pop for it, yeah. People, It was a good segment. The crowd was hot. It was a Brooklyn crowd. You know, if you're gonna bring the Dudleys back, you're gonna do it in Philadelphia or you're gonna do it in New York. So that was a good idea.
Yeah, and I know we're different in this aspect in the sense that I always read spoilers and rumors and stuff like that. And you try to
stay away from
them.
Worst. Yeah. You're like the worst person to watch pay per view with because you always know something. I mark out like a 6-year old, and you already know.
That's great. Way to build my self esteem on the company.
You know, like not in the. I'm hurting everybody's feelings today.
Anyway,
it's not that.
My point was that I usually read a lot of stuff during the course of the day. I don't mind the spoilers. You try to stay away from them.
I like the organic response.
Right, but in this case, I had no idea that they were going to return the show.
I don't even think it was out.
Yeah, so that was kind of my what I was going to say was that they, you know, they did a good job of at least keeping it, you know, not getting it out on like the internet websites and rumors and stuff like that. So it was a legitimate surprise for me as well, watching it. So I thought that was.
I don't know if. Cool. If we're getting a long-term Dudley's run, any idea?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they're at least going to be...
I don't have... can I shoot on this one?
You can shoot.
Absolutely. I don't have high hopes for the Dudley's back now. I saw their last couple matches with the Young Bucks, and if you can't have a good match with the Young Bucks, I don't think you're going to have a good match with the New Day. Well, I mean, maybe their styles will work better, but I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. It was a great surprise for the nostalgia factor, but we'll see what happens.
Okay.
How do you feel? Are you excited for Dudley's back? What do you like?
I mean, it's interesting enough. I mean, I don't... It's kind of like... I think the thing is that there's not a whole lot of tag teams for them to work with in WWE, right? Like, there's really New Day, Primetime Players, and then any other teams that are there.
Lucha
right
Dragons,
now.
Matadors, Ascension.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, they... Not that I want to get ahead of myself, but I'm pretty sure that on SmackDown this week they fight the Ascension on that show, so they already get their way through that. And maybe the Usos when they come back, the Dudleys.
Oh, they wrestle on SmackDown.
Okay. Yeah, they wrestle on SmackDown this week. So
see, this is now here's the difference, the dichotomy between you and I. I would have been excited for that.
Okay.
Had I not,
I ruined it for you.
Had I not been spoiled,
so I ruined it.
Yeah. Hey, Jack dies in the end of Titanic. Go watch the movie now. Yep. You haven't seen the Monday Night, have you?
No.
No, you don't have to. No. You don't have to watch SmackDown.
I mean, mine was by accident. You're assuming that it was pretty deliberate.
I just want you to feel the pain that I felt. I wrote you every day for a year. 365 days, Joe! It's not over. It's still not over.
That's fair. All right, so we're even. So that was the Dudleys, so we'll see where they go from there with the Dudleys. And after that, they went into a rematch from SummerSlam, which I know everybody appreciates the rematches from SummerSlam.
Which one?
It was Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper.
If you're going to rematch anything, I like that match the best in SummerSlam, so I'm totally okay with the rematch. But as people have brought up to me that were watching Raw with me, why? Why is there a rematch from SummerSlam? Any idea? Well, I mean, we know why, but, you know, explaining it to the fans? Any idea?
I don't know. I don't know what their explanation for it was. I think, you know, it's just a matter of them having to fill 3 hours, and that's, they don't really have any other, better ideas of what to do with the feud. And what they ended up doing was they used it to introduce a new member of the Wyatt family.
I popped hard for that. I was standing watching it, and I was about to leave the room, and I heard the Wyatt music go, ah! And I was like, and I saw the dude stand there, and he looked like the dude from Revenge of the Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Nerds! That guy. And you also point out he looked like the barber,
the Berserker.
The Berserker, yeah. Right. So, I love the segment. I like them introducing a new member to the family. Does that mean we're going to get somebody to partner with the Ambrose and Reigns?
Yeah, you would think. They will need somebody to combat that, but I don't know who that'll be. Initially it was, obviously I don't think Rollins is going to get involved with that right now.
Not anytime soon, no.
And then I know there were some rumors of Sting being involved prior to Some Confused before SummerSlam, but as we'll get to a little bit later, that's not likely the direction that he's going to be going on TV right now. So I don't know who they'll get or if they'll get anybody, I guess, but, you know, to make it a 3-on-3 feud. But at least it adds a different element to it.
I do like the 3-on-3 feuds, though. It brings you back to the Von Erichs, the Freebirds, even the Horsemen to an extent. Do you think they would find somebody on the roster, or they bring somebody up from NXT for Roman Reigns and Wyatt? Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose?
I don't know. I mean, I think it would make sense to bring up somebody from NXT, but even this guy, which is Braun Strowman or something?
I think Strowman.
Yeah, I don't really think he was heavily featured on NXT.
He wrestled one match in December.
So they kind of brought him up to the main roster without going through NXT, which is a little bit different. So I don't know if they have other guys like that that they're looking to use, or they could bring up somebody random. But we'll see. I guess we'll see how that goes over the next couple of weeks, because I'm guessing those guys are going to have another match at Night of Champions.
Deadlift 885, right. Which is
pounds less than you deadlifted this morning.
Always good for the ego. I needed that today. I was feeling a bit chubby today.
I just speak the truth, man. That's what I do.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. So. Are you okay with them furthering the Wyatt versus Shield-esque?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I'm not necessarily tired of the feud yet. I mean,
I'm with you.
Not that it's been anything spectacular, but it hasn't been bad, and they've kept it interesting enough. I don't mind watching those segments. I don't look to fast forward them when I watch the show.
Right, I agree with you completely.
So I don't mind them keeping it
going. I did get tired of the Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt feud from 3 or 4 months ago.
Yes, that.
So
was.
I will give credit to Roman Reigns. I think he's doing a great job. I really enjoy Roman Reigns and what he's bringing to matches, and he had they had a great match on Sunday, and they had another great match on Monday. So.
Yeah, I have
His facial features, they crack me up.
Yeah, no complaints about any of those guys.
Braun Strowman was in the ring, Reigns just staring there, looking at him scared to death, and he kind of gave that, oh, well, let's do this, and, he loaded up for the Superman punch, and then, he got his butt kicked, so.
Yeah.
I just said butt kicked. I'm really trying to PG
this
blog
talk
well. Radio.
We're doing well with the PG, man.
We should have, an unedited version, so I could say.
We'll get there one day. So the next part of Raw, which was a kind of a double segment, and I don't really know how you want to start quantifying this, but they had a Miz TV segment with Paige, Charlotte, and Becky, which ended up leading into a 6-person tag with Paige, Charlotte, and Becky versus Team Bella that went on for
14 minutes and 30 seconds.
And I guess to say that it was not well-received by the crowd in Brooklyn would be somewhat of an understatement.
When you have Brie Bella Instagramming at Brooklyn can quote-unquote kiss my ass, there was an issue. Who do you blame? Do you blame the crowd? the same crowd that gave a standing ovation to Becky and no, I'm sorry, to Bayley and to Sasha?
No, I don't.
Or do you blame the atrocious match that they had?
I think it's partially how they're presented on the show. Right? Like the thing I was thinking the whole time throughout the two segments back to back was the crowd was chanting for Sasha Banks like at least two or three times at different parts of those.
Did they chant for Bayley too?
They might have, yeah. Yeah. And it's Sasha Banks, who's on the main roster now and is part of the whole, you know, Naomi and Tamina Team Bad business. Then, like, you'd think that they would feature her in some fashion, having, you know, been in a great match on Saturday at NXT. And what happened on Sunday in the pay-per-view was her team was the first one eliminated, and she was not even on Raw. And they had this six-person match. So they didn't even feature probably the one diva that everybody wanted to see. So I think that's part of it, is that the way they presented it was kind of, you know, the Miz TV thing was pretty silly, and they didn't even present and use...
Silly? What is this, G-rated? Come on. Tell me how you really feel.
It's kind of stunk on ice. Is that...
Stunk on ice? Stunk, yeah, that's more strong. So, I thought this segment was terrible. Sasha, if you want to... The Divas Revolution, I'm not saying it's backfiring on them, because it's not, but the NXT Divas Revolution, that started a year ago. You know, that's been happening. Them bringing the divas up, I'm not going to call them, I hate the term divas. I hate it. Them bringing the wrestlers up, you could bring them up, but if you're not going to use them correctly, they're just another person, you know? So you have Bayley, and you've got Sasha, and you've got Charlotte, and you've got Paige, who really, I'm souring very strongly on Paige. I really feel like...
I'm glad you're finally coming around with me on that one.
Yeah, not only that, on Tough Enough, she was just such a miserable person.
Oh, really?
The poor guy, ZZ, whatever, he's on going off track here, but he lost Tough Enough. Spoiler alert. And he's not in the best shape. Everybody loves him. He tries hard. But he's like, you know, he said it after he had lost. He was like, you know, he's like, I understand, you know, you guys have been telling me every week. He's like, if I was in better shape, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he was apologetic about it. And she chimed in. She's like, well, you had 10 weeks to do it. I'm like... The guy just lost. He admitted
jerk move on her.
Yeah, part. I understand she comes from quote unquote wrestling royalty, but at the same time, you're 21 years old. There's, you know, Alicia Fox has been in WWE how long? She's been in there, what,
like
11 years?
9, 10 years.
Yeah. She has the credibility to say things like that, but don't, you know, she really rubs me the wrong way, and I've lost all. Interest I have in Paige.
That's fair.
She was a good wrestler at the same time, but you know, you're a big fish in a small pond. Now you're a big fish in still a smaller pond, but you can't even match up to that. So.
Yeah. So I think the upshot really of the whole segment, without crapping all over it any further than we already have, is
the CM Punk chance.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was the crowd turned. You know, the crowd turned into the smart mark crowd turned into the whole, you know, chanting for random things that aren't even, you know, people that aren't even in the arena and stuff like that. So. It was bad. They like kind of left them out there way too long, you know. And that's
you got to call you give them 15 minutes on TV.
Yeah,
you know, you're giving Neville 4-minute matches. You're giving Wade Barrett, you know, 6-minute matches, and you're giving a 3-on-3 match, which is pretty hard to do unless you have a 3-on-3 matches. The Japanese guys can do it well. The New Japan guys can do it well, and you know, the New Day can do it well when you have chemistry. But it's a very tough match to keep the interest in, and. I just saw that segment. You know, if you're in the back, you're the agent for that match. I'm using insider term, but you're the agent. You got to signal to the referee. You got to wrap that up in 6-7 minutes. You can't let that go.
It was a tough segment all around. So that was kind of a loss. And as far as the show, I had a good lot of momentum going up to that point. I feel like it kind of stalled. They went to a Stardust versus Neville match, which I'm going to kind of skip over because I don't think we need to really talk about that. But then the next segment was the John Cena, John Stewart business. So.
I like this. I didn't love the.
What did you think of Jon Stewart's explanation as to why he attacked Cena on Sunday at the pay-per-view? The Ric Flair, you know, he didn't want to.
It
see
made him. Me feel better.
Yeah,
it actually made me feel better. I think he, you know, it was unexpected for sure. I thought there was like a good reason for it. You know, it wasn't. pro Seth Rollins. It was for, you know, for Ric Flair. He did it for Ric Flair, you know.
So that actually led to it. So Ric Flair actually came out to the ring at that point when once Stewart announced that was his reason. And
another surprise. Nobody really knew.
Yeah, another surprise. And, you know, long story short, he, Flair basically just supported Cena and said that, you know, he wanted Cena to be a guy that would, if anybody was going to tie his record, he wanted it to be somebody like Cena because he respected him and lots of that type of stuff, and the crowd hated on that, obviously, because this was not a pro-Cena crowd. And
no, then Cena eventually New York is never out. Really a pro-Cena crowd.
Right. Cena eventually came out, and this segment wasn't terrible, but I felt like it went on for a little bit longer than it needed to. Like, Stewart's part was, I don't know, he kind of kept saying the same thing over and over again to me, but...
Yeah. He did take a good bump, though.
Yeah, he ended up giving what Cena gave him an AA at the end, so... you know, I'm sure they're going to end up doing... do you think they're going to do Cena versus Rollins for the U.S. title at Night of Champions? Because now Rollins has two titles. So...
They can do the Jay Lethal?
Yeah.
The
direct rip-off of ROH, right? That's
what I'm supposed to say. Okay. Have they said that?
They haven't said it, but I mean, I just remember in that promo that Stewart was like, oh, you know, I'm really... You know, he apologized to Cena for doing what he did. He didn't think, you know, whatever. He was saying he didn't think of everything, and... he suggested that Cena could then win his title back, or whatever it might be. So I'm wondering if they're going to do the double title match, two different title matches for Rollins and Night of Champions, you know, the same way that they're doing
things with Jay Lethal.
Yeah. In ROH, so.
I mean, if you're going to have two titles, you're going to have to defend two titles. You know, it's Night of Champions. It's, every match is supposed to be a title match. So
yeah. So now we're getting to the last hour of the show, pretty much. And,
really? That went really fast.
Yeah. There's only really two segments left that we should probably talk about. So the 8-man tag was the last match of the show. I'll run through real quick. So Ryback, Orton, Ziggler, and Cesaro versus Kevin Owens, Sheamus, Big Show, and Rusev. That match is as good as you would, you know, expect it to be with those guys involved.
Yeah.
You know, it ended up being where Orton got the win on Sheamus. After Big Show accidentally hit his knockout punch on Sheamus, and then Orton hit an RKO, and he pinned Sheamus. So, whatever, you know, good we thought they did for Sheamus the night before at SummerSlam.
What's the point? Yeah. What's the ideology behind that?
It's the whole, like we were talking about the other day, right? The 50-50, the even Steven, you know, one guy wins, and then the next night the other guy wins type of thing. So that's what they did there.
What is that doing for Randy Orton? Like, what's next for Randy Orton? Is he going to go into a feud with the Big Show?
It's either he's going to keep going with Sheamus, or he's going to go into, you know, maybe one of the other guys in that match. But they didn't really seem to tease anything other than the Big Show thing at the end, which...
I feel like, you know, you could pull the trigger on a Randy Orton heel turn. He's been a face for so long, and he's kind of just treading water at this point. So, if you know, a Randy Orton heel turn, you could do.
Yeah, they can. I mean, but some of these guys, I feel like Orton and especially Big Show, have turned so many times back and forth. They're just kind of, like you said, they're treading water. They're just not really doing anything very interesting right now. So, anyway, the end of that match was that, and then Rusev and Owens ended up kind of attacking Big Show and leaving him in the ring. So then you thought, well, maybe he was turning face again for the 800th time. And then all the faces got back in the ring and hit their finisher on Big Show and whatever, and that's how it ended, so... None of that makes any sense to me, but
it doesn't make any sense.
The match wasn't bad. It was
kind of similar to the end of the Bucks, ACH, and Seidel versus Kingdom and RPG Vice match. But, you know, neither here nor there. I thought the segment was okay, but it doesn't do anything for any guy. You know, what?
Yeah, I think it's just a match then to throw out there and get everybody on the show, right, and have, like, an entertaining
match. Yeah, you know, everybody gets a paycheck, but what, you know, coming out of... actually, you know, we'll finish the last segment, then I'll get my thoughts, okay. So...
So that was that, and the last segment was, you know, so throughout the show, there were various segments backstage with the Authority and Seth Rollins talking about how he was going to get a bronze statue like Andre the Giant, Ultimate Warrior, and Bruno Sammartino have in the Hall of Fame, you know, honoring these guys for being great champions and all this type of stuff. So they had various segments throughout the night building up to it, and then the last segment was, you know, Triple H, Stephanie, and Rollins doing a promo in the ring. With a giant box in the back of the ring that was supposed to unveil the statue, which I think...
Is that where the Black Scorpion was hiding?
Yeah. So there was the gobbledygooker, actually, was in
there. There was an egg inside the box.
There was a big egg, yeah.
What came first, chicken or the egg?
Correct.
The gooker.
It
came first.
So, I think, you know, at least for me at that point, I expected somebody to come out of that, you know, when they raise the boxer, you know, to reveal the statue.
I was expecting Cena. I completely forgot about Sting.
Because Cena had been escorted from the building by security, so it kind of made you think that that would be what happened. And it turned out that once they went through their whole promo and Rollins put himself over for a while, they had the box was, you know, lifted up and Sting was standing there, which I thought got a pretty good reaction from the crowd. Right?
Yeah, definitely got, you know, definitely... I knew Sting was on the show, but I also knew that Undertaker was advertised for the show, too.
Yes, he didn't appear that I saw.
No, I watched Raw pretty close this week, and I didn't see Undertaker, so I wasn't sure if it was going to be him, was it going to be Sting, who was going to be on there. You know, so it was definitely a nice surprise, these things.
Yeah. So that, anyway, that was, you know, he ended up clearing the ring and you know, beat up Rollins a little bit, and that's how the show went off the air. And from all accounts of what I've seen, they're going to end up doing Rollins versus Sting for the WWE title at Night of Champions in a couple weeks next month at Night of Champions. So, do you have any pros for that, against that?
I'm for it because I want to see Sting have a WWE title before he quits, before he retires. I don't know why. It's a tough situation to... I like getting some new blood in there and having Seth Rollins beat a legend and Sting, you know, would do a lot for him, but it's just, they're really going to have to work hard to sway this one. You're really going to have to sell me on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I assume it'll just be another vehicle for, you know, Rollins to get a win over somebody. I mean, I feel bad for Sting because I feel like if he would have at least beaten Triple H at WrestleMania, then he could add some level of credibility with the audience. Not that he doesn't have credibility, but he doesn't want a match in WWE, so... He had one match at WrestleMania, he lost, and now he's going to fight Rollins, and my expectation is that he's going to lose again. So I don't know, you know, if he's just there to job to the guys, what their plan is, if they have a plan for Sting or not.
Well, BK actually brought up to me that Sting would win, and then you get a Sheamus cash-in.
Well, I guess I could see that.
Yeah, which makes sense. Sting gets his W, and he loses on a cash-in, which is, you know, not really a big loss.
I still can't get into the whole
Sheamus having
Like, that doesn't seem... Like, if they had the two titles still, I could see it, him getting one of them, but... Him being the main champion, like, there's only one champion.
And yeah, there's not...
Since they unified the titles, right, it's only been...
Can he use that for, like, the Divas title or anything else?
I don't think so. I'm not aware.
How does that work? Can he use it for, like, the U.S. heavyweight title or anything else besides the world?
I don't believe so. I believe it's for... I don't know. I mean, who knows with these guys. But I'm pretty sure it's for the world heavyweight title, so...
Well, that's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate. So, that pretty much recaps Raw, buddy. So do you want to do... what do you want to do next? You want to do a 5-count next, or do you want to go into the Field of Honor discussion from this weekend?
I quickly want you to rate Raw for me.
Rate Raw.
Rate Raw. 1 to 5.
1 to 5. I will give it... A 3.5.
I was going to say, not based on this scale compared to every other Raw. Compared to how much you actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5. Because there were probably 3 or 4 segments that I legitimately enjoyed over the course of the 3 hours.
Okay.
Which is more than I normally enjoy.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going to give it a 3. 3.25. I'll give it 3.25. Which is, you know, by Raw standards as of late, pretty good.
Yeah.
I've picked the 5-count the last 2 weeks, so I feel like this is your turn to pick the 5-count. 3 ain't enough, man. I need 5.
So you want me to give you the 5-count?
I want you to sell me on the 5-count. What are we doing this week?
5-count. I am going to say that for this week's 5-count, we should list the 5 worst WWE champions of all time. And now WWE champions means WWE champions, so not World Heavyweight Champions. So I'm talking the WWE, WWF, Heavyweight Championship in the course of history.
Oh, man, this is...
The 5 worst guys to hold the title.
Do you want to go 1-1? Do you want to go 5-5? Like, I go, you go, how do you want to do it?
I mean, I'm up for whatever. I mean, I think I have a good list in my head. So, I'm ready when you're ready.
I want you to start.
Okay. Well, number 5, I'm going to go with a pretty easy one, I guess, in some sense of the word. And that's, I'm going to say Rey Mysterio. Because he was champion for like 1.5 hours or something on Raw that one night. Do you remember that whole scenario where this was when CM Punk won the title at Money in the Bank in 2011 and then left the company, and then they immediately had so they had a tournament for to win the crown of the champion. Rey Mysterio beat The Miz in the finals, if you can believe that, and then the same night he fought John Cena in the main event. So Mysterio won the tournament, and then he fought John Cena an hour and a half later, whatever it was, in the same show, and then lost.
I do, now that you bring that up, I do remember that.
So the dude was champion for like an hour or two. So to me, he's not on my list. Now, not that I think Rey Mysterio is a bad wrestler, because I think he's really a really good wrestler, but I just think in terms of like the history of the WWE Championship, he is number five.
Okay. Now this is going to be a title reign, not a champion. It's a guy that held the belt twice.
Okay.
His second time holding the belt was, I don't want to say disgrace, but I will say Bob Backlund's second title reign when he lost to Diesel in 6 seconds.
That's a good one. I didn't think of that. It's a good one.
Bob Backlund was a great champion back in the late 70s.
I think so.
It was about late 70s. And he had a lot of great matches, and you know, with the Sheik and a lot of guys. But that whole, when he came back in the mid-early 90s and he beat Bret Hart because Owen threw him a towel, and then he lost to Diesel in 7 seconds at a house show to a jackknife.
Yeah.
So.
That's tough. Okay. That's a good one. I like that. So I'll go number four on my list.
Yeah.
Kane.
Okay.
Kane won the title at King of the Ring 98 in a First Blood match against Steve Austin.
Yep.
Which was the whole week thing where Undertaker came out and ended up hitting Austin with a chair, quote unquote, by accident in that storyline. Austin bled and Kane won the title. He immediately lost it back the next night on Raw to Stone Cold. I think, you know, clean and whatever, straight up match on Raw. So he had the title for one day.
Yep.
And I never got the WWE title back again after that. So that is my number four, is Kane on my list.
Okay. We're going numbers. Okay. I'm just going to say The Big Show for my number four.
Just because it's Big Show?
Just because, as terrible as that may sound, I'm going to say The Big Show. I never bought him as a champion. I feel like some guys really don't need titles, and I feel like Big Show is one of them. So Big Show is on my list.
Okay. So number three, counting up to number one for me. So number three on my list is The Miz.
Damn it.
I don't know what else to say other than he's probably one of the most least deserving guys to get the title. Whatever momentum they thought they had with him at the time. I give him credit because he did a lot of media appearances during that whole thing, and he seemed like he was a pretty visible champion for them.
Yeah, he worked really hard, you know. Yeah. I'll give him credit for that.
But I mean, the dude was on MTV reality show. He's not really a good wrestler. I feel like when you become the champion, you have to earn the right that you're the champion by having great matches and getting over and having great feuds, and he didn't really do much of that at all.
Right.
His stuff was mid-card at best. And they took him and they put him into that spot. They gave him the Money in the Bank briefcase. He cashed in on Randy Orton on Raw. And he kept the title to WrestleMania and through WrestleMania, beating John Cena on that show because of Rock's interference.
I do like how the only reason he was... He did cash in the Money in the Bank.
Yes.
So it's not like he... It goes to his character that he didn't really earn it. He won the Money in the Bank. But still, the thought that they should give him a title is just...
Yeah.
Poor booking.
So...
I was going to say The Miz. It's not a fantasy draft, so I could say The Miz for everything. He's like a prototypical U.S. heavyweight intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
And he could be fine in that aspect, but he doesn't need to be anywhere near the title picture.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's we're on the same page on that one. So.
Yeah.
Number two on my list.
I'm going to be upset because I know our last two are probably pretty similar, so go ahead.
Vince McMahon.
Son of a... Yeah, with when he Shane McMahon as special guest referee.
Well, I think it was... Yeah, I forget the whole thing, but he fought Triple H on SmackDown. And I believe Stone Cold interfered on Vince's behalf. And
yep.
I think he hit Triple H with a chair or something, or gave him a stunner. I forget exactly what happened. But then he put Vince on top, and Vince ended up winning the title. He gave it up pretty quickly, and I think that led to the six-pack challenge at Unforgiven in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Vince, at least at the time, was like kind of a pseudo wrestler. Like, he was wrestling here and there, various matches. Like, he was in the Rumble that year, he fought Austin, you know, he would fight Triple H later that year at Armageddon. So he was wrestling, you know, here and there, but still, obviously, the guy was, you know, 50 something year old owner of the company, not really a trained or a good wrestler at all. Yeah, you could probably took have done some that bumps with
like a 50-year-old, you know. Yeah. But still, I
they could have done it with somebody else that wasn't him, and that's what they did, you know. But yeah. So he should not have been the WWE champion. Just like he could say the same thing about Vince Russo and David Arquette and guys like that in WCW. So I think that falls into that category. So he's number two on my list.
He was my number one. Okay. So I'm going to echo your sentiments for every reason you listed. It made the company look bad. I feel like he only held it for what, a week?
Yeah, if that. I mean, I think he won it on SmackDown, and then I'm pretty sure by like that Monday's Raw, he was giving it up. So
yeah. I guess I'll just go ahead and
yeah. Why don't you give your number two?
This nothing against this gentleman. I just never bought into him as a champion. There was no rhyme or reason for it. I just never felt like he had the qualities of a champion, and his matches were okay, but it was like bleeding a stone trying to get a good match out of him. I'm going to say Bradshaw. He was my number one. Yeah. Well, he was my number two.
Right. He was my number one, actually. So
okay.
So we're on the same page there.
Good.
And you know my history with that whole thing. I don't know if I need to rehash it. So he just was not so undeserving of the push that he got, in my opinion. You know, I remember very, very...
The only reason that Bradshaw was champion is because Triple H didn't want to work Tuesdays.
Yeah.
That was a Paul Heyman classic.
I could go on a long rant about it, and I won't. But, I mean, I remember that year. So it was 2004 when he became the champion. And I remember that year very specifically. And he was in the Royal Rumble. And he didn't have the JBL gimmick at that point. He was still under the APA gimmick. He was the first guy eliminated from the Royal Rumble that year in 2004. I remember that very vividly. And 4 months later, he was a WWE champion. And I don't understand. It was really, really frustrating for me.
As a fan.
Yeah, because they gave him the JBL gimmick. Which I could live with giving him a new gimmick if he wanted to split the APA up and do whatever with those guys and have him go single because they had done the APA thing for a long time. Like, that's totally fine.
Right.
They put him on SmackDown. So, again, you kind of tuck him on the taped show.
On the B show, yeah. Let him get himself over.
They gave him that gimmick, and then the first month out, he was in the title match. And he hadn't done anything to deserve it and never had a good singles run. Was just in a tag team.
He wasn't a very good wrestler.
Yeah, he was not a good
wrestler. I liked his lariat. You know, that was it. But he wasn't a very good wrestler.
And he ended up holding the title. You know, the whole thing was like, whatever, the longest champion in SmackDown history or whatever it was when that title was exclusive to SmackDown. I can't even count. I don't know of any matches during that run, except for maybe the bull rope match with Eddie when he won it, where you could say it was like a good match. Like, he had terrible matches.
He did have a good bull rope match with Eddie, but yeah, he... There was, when I watched WWE Network, never mind. Like, you know what? I'm going to go back and watch that JBL match.
No, yeah. That whole era was just really bad. And that's what ended up causing me to stop watching SmackDown on a regular basis, was him being the champion because I couldn't take it. So,
anyway. Yeah.
Bitter, good pill this week.
Good call this week. You know,
Thanks.
I did really dive back in the memory bank there to see who was... You put me on the spot. But that's the point of the five
count. That's the five count, man.
Yeah. Three ain't enough,
thinking,
Joe.
Thinking outside the box.
I need five.
Five Count is brought to you by...
Mustache Brewing Company, number one sponsor. They're not our sponsor. I just really enjoy Mustache Brewing Company.
Maybe one day.
I'll tweet them.
Do you want to talk about the Field of Honor experience a little
bit
before we wrap up?
Let's talk about Field of Honor, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I'll let you get into it. But so we went to Ring of Honor's Field of Honor show at MCU Park in Brooklyn.
Yep.
Where the Brooklyn Cyclones play. It was the Saturday night, same night as the NXT TakeOver special from the Barclays Center. So there was a ton of wrestling fans going in Brooklyn. Also, a lot of shootings.
There were four shootings in
Brooklyn, yeah. So,
spoiler alert, did not get shot. Did not get shot.
Literally dodged the bullet. Literally dodged the bullet. So, why don't you talk about the experience a little bit, how it went for us.
Field of Honor, it was a blast. It was... The second year, Joe and I went. We went last year. This year was far more packed. I want to say probably a double the amount of people there than was last year. The card was great, top to bottom. No championship matches, so you know there wasn't going to be any title changes. But the matches you had there were you knew you were going to get matches out of them. It was big because the New Japan guys came over. You had Okada versus Roderick Strong. You had Shinsuke Nakamura with Jay Lethal against Red Dragon. You had Watanabe in the Gauntlet match. You had the Time Splitters, Alex Shelley and Kushida versus the Briscoe Brothers. And you had my boy, hashtag Big Mike himself, big old Mike Elgin, Big Elgin, against Hirooki Goto, who's the IWGP IC title.
Yeah,
title. So, No, it was a really cool experience from start to finish. We met, we ran into our old friends at Young Bucks, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson. Ran into the Young Bucks, got a chance to meet Shinsuke Nakamura as well.
Super nice guy. Pictures up on the Facebook page.
Pictures up on our Facebook page and our Twitter, I believe. We have one on our Twitter. Matches were good. There was a dark match at like 7:40. The card started at 8 o'clock and it went right to 10:50. You know, 2.5 hours, 8 matches straight through. No, it didn't feel long. You know, it felt like a really good show. If you get a chance, definitely look at, order on the Ring of Honor website. It's up. It's on demand. It's well worth it. I would say the best match of the night for sure was Okada versus Roderick Strong.
Yes.
Definitely. Secondly, I would say probably Elgin versus Goto. And then third, I would go main event, Red Dragon versus Nakamura and Lethal.
Yeah,
and but the Young Bucks match.
Yeah, the Bucks 8-man was really good. I mean, most of the matches were very good.
Yeah, no, there wasn't. The crowd was super hot the entire time, and there wasn't any lulls in the action. The Gauntlet match, which we didn't happen to see, we were got a couple.
We were walking around the park a little bit by that.
Couple of cheese steaks.
Cheese
steak sandwiches.
A couple of helmet ice cream things.
I think it was delicious.
But yeah, I mean, that was the only match that we didn't really necessarily were heavily involved in. But you make a bunch of appearances on the TV feed.
I don't want to say I single-handedly, but I had a large part in getting big old Mike Elgin over. If you get a chance, if you watch the VOD, watch the Elgin match, and he brings him right in front of you and I. Oh, I was cheering vehemently to get him over, and he brings him over, and we get, Elgin chops Goto in front of us and vice versa. And you can see us pretty clear on our all night long wrestling podcast shirts.
That's right.
That's a, big old.
It's a great design by you.
I do the best I can. I'm trying to get myself over here as much as I'm trying to get Elgin over. But really enjoyed the show. They kind of teased a Nakamura Lethal situation. They were really weren't getting along as a tag team. So there was actually reports out today that a lot of New Japan guys are going to be, a lot of the Ring of Honor guys are going to be doing tours of New Japan, and they even said that Lethal's going to be defending his title in Japan, maybe at the Dome Show, who knows, but I'm looking forward to it, and they said Elgin might be the one to face Lethal over there, I would like to see too, because Elgin has been working super hard between the G1 and coming back, and he's having really good matches, so it's really good to see.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much sums it up pretty good. I mean, those shows, at least for me, haven't been to going to wrestling shows for since early 1990s.
Yeah,
It's different because it's a different experience. Like you get there, if you get there early enough, a lot of the wrestlers are, some of the wrestlers are signing autographs. You can get on the line and do that.
Yeah, and there's not that many people there where it's going to be a big deal.
You're
not waiting in line for an hour and a half. And everybody's super personable, super approachable.
Yeah.
It was except for Kevin Kelly.
Right. Well,
he will mainly because he's wearing a Mets jersey. That's really the only thing about him.
We were fortunate enough, at this show and at the shows that we were at in the city back in June to be able to sit front row, and that kind of adds an extra element to it, especially for me. I never sat front row before then, so
yeah. But now I don't want to sit anything but front row.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna lose some of the luster if we don't sit front row. But it's cool. You get to you're up close to the action, and some of the wrestlers will come by. You get to
high fives. You get on camera.
So it's a cool.
At other shows besides this one, you get to slap the. Yeah. The metal sign in front. It's a good time. It's definitely the most interactive wrestling show I've been at.
So it was great. It was a great experience, and definitely would do it again if they come back next year.
I think it's going to be a yearly thing for them, which will be good.
So
also, they announced a lot of matches coming up too
for Ring of Honor TV.
Ring of Honor.
So they got a lot. They got a lot going on, and they have a pay-per-view coming up on the 18th of September, Friday night.
September 18th, Friday night. They have that's
All-Star Extravaganza.
Yep. Last year, I remember that was headlined by
Briscoe Elgin,
Jay Briscoe on title. Also, the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon 23 Falls match.
Yeah. So they're setting up some matches for that coming up here in a few weeks. So that's going to be pretty exciting. So I think I don't know. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover on this episode?
No, wrestling. I mean, I feel like we touched on everything.
Yeah.
Find us on Twitter at All Night Long WP on our Facebook page too. All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. Anything you guys want to hear, talk about? Questions, comments, concerns, give us your opinions on Raw or Ring of Honor, what you think they should be doing in Raw this week. There's a lot of guys, really quick, just touch on it again. You have Owens, you have Cesaro, you have everybody in the 8-man tag match with nothing to do.
Yeah.
So get your fantasy booking books ready. So that's it for the Enforcer, the Stallion.
Tapping out.
Joe's tapping out.